I want to speak for a few moments to some of the younger people. And this is a famous story from the earliest days of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ in Jerusalem. But it's also a very solemn story and a very challenging story, I'm sure, to all of us. We read in verse 1 of Acts chapter 5, "But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whiles it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, Tell me, whether ye sold the land for so much? And she said, Yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, How is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in, and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things." Amen. May God bless to us this reading from his word. Last week we were reading a few verses before this, and we learned about a man who sold his property and gave the proceeds of that property to the apostles to distribute to the poor believers in the church. Can anyone remember that man's name? Barnabas, that's right. Barnabas was a man who is recognized as the very foremost amongst the early leaders of the church in Jerusalem. Indeed, sometimes in the Acts of the Apostles, Luke calls him an apostle. So Barnabas sometimes gets called an apostle. And while there were the 11 apostles, Judas taken away, and Matthias added to their number to make up again to 12, there are occasions in the New Testament where other people are called apostles also. And Barnabas is one of those men who takes on this name. And he was a man who was well respected and well regarded. And it seems as if from the veriest earliest times he was keen to commit everything that he had to the well-being of the church and the Lord's people, and to spend his life helping and ministering and encouraging and comforting the Lord's people and the church. We're told that at that time in the church that there was a movement to help the poor people, the poor believers, and they had all things in common. They shared together. As men and women had need, then their needs were satisfied out of a common wealth that the apostles distributed. And Ananias and Sapphira were two members of that early church. In fact, because we don't know about them before this time, it may well be that they have been around the apostles from even before the time of Pentecost. They may have been part of that group at an earlier stage. And now we find that Ananias and Sapphira have an idea. They've seen what Barnabas has done. They've seen how well Barnabas is respected. They know something of the high esteem in which he is held amongst the church members. And they think to themselves, wouldn't it be good if we were viewed like that as well? And they concocted a plan. They would sell their property and they would give the proceeds of that property, just like Barnabas had done, to the apostles, and they could distribute it to the poor people in the church. But they wouldn't have to give everything. They would tell the apostles that they were giving everything, but they would hold some of it back. After all, they were getting a very good price. And I don't know whether they held back a little bit or a lot, or maybe they split it 50-50. But they only gave a portion of what they got from the proceeds of this sale, but they told the apostles that they were giving everything. I suspect these people wanted the honour of being known as being generous givers to the poor. And this reminds us, this shows us, that from the very earliest times, there have always been hypocrites in the Church of Jesus Christ. That's just the way of things. Even the apostles had to deal with those who were not faithful, who were not true, who were liars, who were pretenders, who acted the part, but in their hearts they were hypocrites. These people had no knowledge of grace and love and salvation, but they talked a good story. And they pretended to the other disciples that they were followers of the Lord Jesus. And it also reminds us that God knows the hearts of men and women. And God protects his church against the schemes and the deceptions of those that would take advantage of them. False members and false professors may not be known to the individuals of a congregation, but they are known to God. And God holds the well-being of his church and his people close to his heart, and he is careful that they will be protected. We can see how the story unfolds, how that Ananias came in first and he said to Peter, "Well, here's all the money, Peter." And Peter knew. I don't know how he knew. Perhaps it was simply that the Holy Spirit revealed it to him. You remember when we were talking about Naaman the Syrian, that Elisha knew what Gehazi had done. When Gehazi went to speak to Naaman and said, "Give me some of the robes, give me some of the suits of clothes, give me some of the silver, and I'll take it back to my master." Gehazi never intended to take it back at all. And he thought he had done all these things in secret. But the Holy Ghost told Elisha what Gehazi had done. And here it appears that we have a repeat of that same thing. And Peter is informed about Ananias's hypocrisy and effectively his theft. A little bit later, Sapphira comes in and she hasn't heard about the death of her husband. And she is inquired of, she is asked by Peter what the situation and what the facts of the case were. And she repeats the scheme and she repeats the lie. And her life is required of her too, and she falls down dead at the apostles' feet. The death of Ananias and Sapphira testifies of God's judgment against sin. No sin will go unpunished before God. Either our sin must be laid upon the shoulders of the Lord Jesus Christ and have him pay the price for them, or our sins will be carried on our own souls and we will pay the price for them. This is the promise of God, that the soul that sinneth, it will die, except a substitute and a representative be found in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a fearful condition wicked men and women are in. Why do you think Ananias and Sapphira died immediately they had told this lie? People can lie all their lives. People lie all the time. People make a living out of telling lies. And yet God doesn't require their lives from them immediately upon making a false statement. But he did with Ananias and Sapphira. Why must they die so dramatically? Well, I believe that it was a sign. I believe that it was a warning. And I believe that it was a comfort. God showed his care and his love for his church, his bride, by protecting them from these two schemers. And God warned others not to deceive her, not to deceive themselves, and not to try and deceive him. And God comforted his church in all ages by showing them that all who try to harm her, all who try to deceive her, all who do her down, will have it held against them. If they raise their hands against his church, they raise their hands against God himself. Peter accused Ananias and Sapphira of lying against the Holy Spirit, lying to God. And in a sense, all sin is against God. On the surface, this lie was about money. It was about property. It was about honor and the desire for it. But it is a greater sin to profess that we are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, to act like a Christian, when there is no true knowledge of grace in our lives. You know, we can pretend about a lot of things. We can pretend to each other that we know the Lord, when in fact we are mocking God by our hypocrisy. I would wish, both in the church and in the world, that there was something of the fear of God that had been established on this day, established in the hearts of men and women and in the minds of men and women, when they realized just how jealous God is of his own glory and of his own people. Ananias and Sapphira are a warning to us all. Verse 11 of chapter 5 says, "Great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things." It's a precious privilege to be a member of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is a precious privilege to be a member of the local congregation of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And those who squeeze in wrongly, those who claim to be Christians when they are not, those who pretend to follow the Lord Jesus Christ when they do not, they abuse and they misuse the privileges of God's Church. And they are in great danger for what they are doing. Let us realize something of the seriousness of professing the Lord Jesus Christ when we know him not. And let us be aware that out of the example of Ananias and Sapphira, God will hold all men and women accountable for their sins and for their statements and for their professions. May the Lord bless these things to us and teach us and guide us in the ways of his truth. Amen.